Please take the Bible and open it to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. And we'll be looking at a story this evening that I think is very familiar for all of us, if you've been around church for any length of time. A story that helps us understand about our own insufficiency and God's sufficiency. And I'd like for us to read in Mark chapter 6. And we'll start reading in verse 30. Mark chapter 6 and verse 30, this is a story that takes place during the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He sent out his disciples to minister throughout Israel, and they've been out, they've been doing the work of the Lord, and they've come back to Jesus to report to him. And so we pick up the story in verse 30 of Mark 6 and verse 30. It says, "And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus, and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place, and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were a sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about, and into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, Give ye them to eat." We'll read the rest of the story in just a moment, but I'd just like to draw your attention to this phrase here, "Give ye them to eat." Let's pray together and we'll look at the story here. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this night, for this opportunity to be gathered together in your name, Lord, to focus on your work of world evangelism and missions around the world. I thank you for this testimony that we've just heard. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing around the world. It's a great job. It's a great mission. And Lord, I pray you'd help us now as we look into your word, that you'd speak to us, that your Holy Spirit would have his way and free reign in each one of our hearts. We commit this all to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Here we have this story, and we have these disciples who've come together, and they have been serving God. They've been serving the Lord Jesus Christ. They've been ministering, as we've told, preaching in the different villages and cities around Judea and in Galilee. And they come back to Jesus, and they begin to run into problems. And I believe there's several things that we can see in this passage here. And the first one that I want us to see is that we need to beware the mediocre mindset of the disciples. We need to beware the mediocre mindset of the disciples. Here we have people who knew the Lord, people who loved Jesus, people who were serving Jesus. They were involved in the Lord's work. And yet here they are, they've come to a point where they're just worn out and they feel completely used up. They've come back to the Lord. And in the verse 31, it says, "There was many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat." And so Jesus, he's human too. He's got flesh and blood too. He sees their tiredness. He's tired. He says, "We're going to take a break. Come ye apart." And so they select this place. It's going to be a private place. It's going to be a place where they can come apart and have some rest and relaxation. And they get in the ship to go over there. And somehow, the crowd of people sees what's happening. And they run along the side of the lake to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can just imagine as Jesus and the disciples are riding in the boat, and maybe they're looking forward to just having some time to just rest a little bit and spend some time together and speak to the Lord. And as they come up to the place where it's supposed to be a quiet place, supposed to be a place of rest, who's there? The people have come ahead of them. The multitudes are already there waiting for them. And so they get off the boat, and what happens? Jesus comes out and he sees them and he has compassion. And he begins to teach them many things, and they jump right back into it. And by the end of the day, we see that the disciples are completely worn out and they're completely done with it. In verse 35, when the day was now far spent, the disciples came unto him and said, "This is a desert place. Now the time is far past. Send them away." And it's sad to see that the disciples had come to the point where they saw the problems around them, they saw the challenges around them, they saw the issues that these people had, they saw the multitudes, and they had gotten to the point where all they could see them as was as a problem and as an inconvenience and as a drag upon them. And they'd gotten to the point where they just wanted the problem to go away. They wanted to be done with it. They wanted to send them away. You know, if you have any contact with people, and I'm going to assume everybody in here does on occasion, you may come to this same point with people in your life. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's just you look around you and you see the lost world and you look in the news and you look at things and you see the problems and you see the need. And it's so great, and we're tempted as human beings. All of us are selfish. And sometimes we're tempted to just close ourselves off and say, you know what? I don't want to do it anymore. Lord, take this problem away. I don't want to deal with this anymore. I don't want to deal with this person anymore. I don't want to be bothered with it anymore. And so the disciples came to Jesus. They said, Lord, you know what you need to do? You need to send them away. These people have problems that are too big for us. It's evening. They've got no food. And we've got no money. You know, isn't this just like us as humans? We want to take every problem and we want to put a dollar amount upon it. They come to Jesus. They said, even if we had 200 penny worth of bread, that's not enough to take care of these people. And so as they come to this point, they're overwhelmed. They're just done with it. And so they come to Jesus. They want to be done. They want to send them away. But notice in verse 34, we need to behold the compassion of Christ. Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were sheep not having a shepherd. We see the mediocre mindset of the disciples. They saw people as a problem. They saw people as an inconvenience. And yet, when Jesus looks at these very same people through the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's able to behold them with compassion. Yeah. It's so interesting, this phrase here. It says that he was able to see them as sheep without a shepherd. And I want us to think just a little bit this evening as we try to understand and behold the compassion of Christ and get past our own mediocre mindset as human beings. What did Jesus see that they were sheep without a shepherd? Well, you know, sheep that don't have a shepherd, first of all, they have no direction. Isaiah 53:6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray, gone every one after his own way." Look around you in the world. What do you see? People without direction. They don't know which way to go. Everyone's taking the place, the way that seems right unto him, whatever's right in his own eyes. And people think they're taking different paths. But the truth is that we know all those paths have been designed by the devil to lead into one place. And that's the wide way that leads to destruction. And people that are sheep without a shepherd, we look at people and their lives are so messed up. And this morning, Pastor Adam and I, we were talking to this man, Michael, and his life is so messed up. He has no direction. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's a sheep without a shepherd. We know people like that. They have no direction and they're going down the wide road to destruction. We know that the Lord wants to shepherd those people. Not only are sheep without a shepherd, they have no direction, but we know they have no protection either. You know, in Psalm 23, the great shepherd psalm, the psalmist rejoices that the good shepherd was there to protect him and to set a table in the presence of his enemies and that he would not be afraid. But think for a moment about those who are outside the protection of the good shepherd, those who are taken captive by the devil at his will. You know, serving over in Cambodia, I've met a lot of these people. I remember the first time that I spoke to a man and we began to try to share the gospel with me. And he began to tell me about how he had been very sick, and he had gone to the doctor, and he tried the doctor's medicine, and that hadn't helped, and he was still sick. And so he had gone to find the witch doctor, or the fortune teller, if you will, and ask him what he thought he needed to do to be healed. And so this man, the witch doctor there had told him, look, this is what you need to do. You need to take this altar and you need to set it up on the wall in your house. And you need to buy a roasted pig and you need to offer it to this spirit. And if you do that, you'll get well. And so this man went and he got the altar and he put it up in his house. And he made the offering and he got well. And every year, he would make that offering again. And he told me, if I'm not careful and if I forget, I get sick again. Until I make the offering. And then I'll remember, oh, I haven't made the offering yet. The devil has people in his grasp. And this man told me, he said, I can't study about Jesus Christ. I'm afraid of what the spirits would do to me. Without Jesus Christ, people are sheep without a shepherd. They have no protection. Amen. We know that when we know the Lord Jesus Christ, greater is he that is in us than he that is in than those that are in the world, the spirits in the world. And so I don't think there's many people here in Greenville that are offering roasted pigs to the spirits, but we know people who are being held bound by the deception of Satan, whether it be some sort of sin or addiction, or maybe it's just entertainment and pleasure and comfort. Without Jesus Christ, they have no protection from the attacks of the evil one. And finally, sheep without a shepherd, they have no affection. The Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:11, he said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. If you're here tonight and you know the Lord Jesus Christ, I think sometimes we forget what it's like not to know that somebody loves us the way that Jesus does. Yep. And there's people all around us, and they don't have a single person in the world that they know actually loves them. And you see the way that people, so many strange and repulsive things that people are doing. They have no affection. There's nobody that loves them, that they know of. Since we've been back in the States, we were walking in a parking lot, and I saw a car with a bumper sticker that said, you are enough. That's a sad bumper sticker. Yep. And I think all of us know that's not true. We've all had times we weren't enough. But Jesus Christ, we're not enough, but Jesus Christ still loves us. Amen. And so as Jesus looked out and the Lord Jesus Christ had the eyes of compassion, you could see them as sheep without a shepherd. And I believe that we need to try to ask the Lord to give us that same heart as we look at the lost world around us. Because it's so easy for us to we're disgusted or we're fed up. And sometimes we want to play favorites and we say, well, this person could be a good Christian. That person could be saved. That person, not such a great prospect. And yet, the Lord Jesus Christ loves them all. Amen. You know, Jesus didn't condone their sin, and he never does, but there's no hatred or disgust or animosity. He has compassion towards sinners and their need. And so here's these people. They're out there. They're hungry. They have nothing to eat. We have the disciples. They're fed up with it. We don't have the food. We don't have the money. We don't have the wherewithal. Let's get rid of the problem. And you have Jesus here with his compassion. And perhaps you would say, well, that's great that Jesus cared about this people. But just changing your mindset doesn't do anything about the need. But of course, the Lord Jesus Christ had an answer for that as well. And it's very interesting that in his infinite compassion, this is what he decided to do. In verse 37, he answered and said unto them, the disciples, give ye them to eat. You know, we need to beware of the mediocre mindset of the disciples. We need to behold the compassion of Christ. And I believe that God wants us to become distributors of God's grace. Yes, sir. And I'd like you to note that what Jesus told the disciples to do was impossible. They weren't wrong when they said, it's too late. This is a horrible location. We're way out in the wilderness. We don't have the money. It was an impossible job that Jesus had given them to do. You know, people say God won't give you more than you can handle. Well, I'm here to tell you that's not true. And Jesus was giving them more than they could possibly handle. And you know what? Jesus is still giving us impossible tasks today. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your strength and all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Those are some impossible commands, folks. And so what do we do when Jesus comes to us and says, this is what you need to do? And we look at ourselves and we just don't have it. I believe any time we try to serve the Lord, we're going to come to these times, we're going to come to these places where we're just at the end of ourselves. And Jesus kind of rubbed it in a little bit too. In verse 38, he saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they said, 5 and 2 fishes. Just in case they thought they had it under control, Jesus is like, let's just get this out in the open here. How many loaves do you have exactly? And of course, from other passages, we know these weren't even their loaves. They were borrowing those to start with. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Laughably insufficient for what the Lord Jesus had given them to do. But I thank God that although the disciples were insufficient, Jesus is sufficient to meet the world's need.
Amen, amen, amen.
Verse 39, he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. They sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all, and they did all eat and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes, and they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. You know, the help that these people needed was going to come from heaven. And Jesus blessed the loaves, he looked up to heaven, and he began to distribute them. And when Jesus met the need, it was met, and there was more leftovers than what they had started with. Jesus is more than sufficient for the world's needs. And we look around and we see that people's problems and we see people's needs, and we know that Jesus Christ can meet every one of those needs. But this is what I'd like for you to, and this is the thing that I hope we can take away from this passage today. In verse 41, after Jesus had taken the loaves, he had blessed them, he broke them, it says, he gave them to his disciples to set before them. Notice that Jesus did not personally give a single morsel of food to any of those hungry people.
Yep.
Jesus took it and he gave it to his disciples, and his disciples distributed it to the multitudes. And here's this group of people, and I'm sure the 12 apostles were there, and we know their names and they're well known. But I'm willing to guess there was a number of Jesus' disciples there that we don't know their name and we'll never know their name until we're in heaven, that were there carrying food for Jesus and giving it to the people in the crowd. And God's love and God's grace is always transmitted from person to person. And God wants his disciples to be distributors of his grace. He wants to meet people's needs, and he wants to use us to do it. God's method is a man. I believe E.M. Bounds is the one that said that. God wants to use us. And what a privilege that is for us. What an amazing thing it is for us to see God take our lives and see us do things that are far beyond what we could ever expect to see on our own. Those of you who were here a couple nights ago, we showed our video presentation. There's a story of a man who was reached through the radio program, a radio program that we started during COVID that I thought only reached in our district, until a couple years later when I got a call from a man in a different province asking me to bring him a Bible. And I asked him, I said, now where are you exactly? And he told me the name of the the town or the district? And I said, well, I know where the market is. How far are you from Snoel Market? He said, about a liter. I was like, what do you mean by that? Yeah, exactly. That's a liter of gas in his motorbike, and that's how far it was for him to get from his house to the market. I said, well, why don't you meet me at the market, and we'll go from there. And so he met me, and we went way back into the country, down these little dirt roads, through the rubber forest, and we come to this tiny village called Montilla Amarik, the American fort, back from the Vietnam War era, and he's like, this is my village, about 20 houses. And we didn't stop there. We went through the village, and we went back into the woods, and we went a little further back into the woods, and there's this little hut that's made out of tarps and sticks, and that's his house. And I was able to sit down, and he had trusted Christ just from listening to the radio. But I was able to share the gospel with his wife and with his son, and they both trusted Christ, and they both have been baptized. And it wasn't until I went back and started talking to our church back in town that it started to occur to me, you know, even if we had gotten together and said, hey, we're going to go to this district, we're going to go on this road, we're going to go to these villages, there's no way I ever would have found that man's house. No way. But God had his number.
Yes, sir.
And he used our feeble efforts to do his work and to get his grace and his love to that man. And I see things like that. I say, praise God that he does things with people we could never take credit for. It's all the Lord. It's all his sufficiency. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves. Our sufficiency is of God. And people come to us, you know, and say, oh, you missionaries, I could never do what you do. Me neither. It's all God. We are not sufficient, but the Lord is. So, and that's why we pray, and that's why we labor, because we need God's power. And that's why we ask you all to pray for us, because no amount of American money and ingenuity and programs and ideas does a lick of anything if God's power is not in it. Our sufficiency is of God. And this is why we continue to strive and go forward. William Carey, known as the father of modern missions, he said, attempt great things for God, expect great things from God. And this is why you witness to that person that you think would never receive Jesus. Yep. This is why you go to a country that already has a religion.
Yes, sir.
And that's why you keep loving that person who's rejected you so many times. That's why you keep serving the Lord when you feel like you're just completely given out and you're completely used up. I remember our first year that we were in our current location. I shared with you all a little bit about this, but about a month after we got there, my wife's health just completely gave out, and she was bedridden for almost a year. And we had just moved into town. Nobody there was especially happy that we were there. We had four small children at that time, so I was cooking and cleaning and, you know, trying to keep the kids alive. And I tried to hire people. I was like, I'll hire somebody to help, and nobody would even work for us. And I remember times I felt I cannot do this anymore. And every once in a while, I'd be able to get away and go out into the rubber plantations out in the trees there and just pray to the Lord. And it was amazing to me that no matter how used up I felt, no matter how worn out I felt, when I went to the Lord that way, he would give me that strength. He would give me that determination to keep going. And sometimes I had such a bad attitude, I didn't want to go pray, because I knew if I went and prayed, God was going to help me with the strength that I needed to keep going. Our sufficiency is of God. We are just distributors of God's grace. And when you feel like I've given it all, I don't have any more to give, there's nothing more I can do, I'm empty-handed, we go to the Lord. Those disciples, they'd hand out the food, and then we'd go back to Jesus and get some more, and then they would go and get some more.
Amen.
Let's go to the Lord to get the help that we need so that we can minister to those around us, the hungry multitudes, a world of lost sheep. How are we going to see those around us? Are we going to have the mediocre mindset of the disciples and just say, you know, it's overwhelming sometimes, isn't it? Maybe someone we know that just, they're just, their life seems so messed up. Sometimes in a mission conference like this, we see the need of these different countries and we can feel overwhelmed. A world of 8 billion people. So much suffering, so much sin, so much blindness. But let's not cover our eyes. Let's not bury our head in the sand. Let's not be like the disciples and say, I can't do it anymore. I can't take it in. It's too much. Send them away. May God help us to have the compassion of Christ and become disciples of His who are giving out His grace. And when we have given out our last bit, we go to Jesus and we get some more to keep giving out His grace and His love to others. May God help us to be true disciples of His, because Christ is sufficient for this world's need.
That's right.
Let's pray together.